you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. If you were tuned in yesterday, I already know you're back for some more. We left it on kind of a cliffhanger. We were talking about James 1:3, about persevering and persevering in your faith. And we briefly talked about, you know, where God gives wisdom to those that ask Him for it. He wants to give it to us generously. There's no charge. You don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to be perfect. He's just desiring that you come near to Him. You draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. And so yesterday we had Willie Comer sharing some of his faith journey. Actually, he was sharing on persevering through life, and we were talking about James 1:3, but it started to transition into a little of his testimony, and we thought it would be great to have him back because he's involved in so many different things locally. He's a pastor. He's involved with Youth for Christ. But I'm going to let Tom, so I can get out of the way, because there's a lot of different stories, God-honoring stories to share. But Tom, how would you briefly introduce Willie to somebody that maybe is unfamiliar with this man of God, this disciple of Jesus, this ambassador
for
the
kingdom? There is no brief introduction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a challenge, Tom. You can do it.
Well, I have known Willie for probably 5 years, and we've become very good friends, and I love him. But I wanted to say a couple of things that were not said yesterday, just to maybe put a bow on it or something. Willie talked about his struggle of getting to college, but he didn't finish it. He did finish his bachelor's degree and went on to study radio and television at Kennedy King College, and then he got his master's degree in biblical studies. So this is a well-educated person here. He is also doing some things at Youth for Christ that are just outstanding. One is he's created a computer lab that young people can actually come in during the day and learn things, how to use the computer. And then also he is teaching radio broadcasting there. So it's not just about midnight basketball. It's about many things that he's involved in. Before the COVID shutdown, he was going into the schools, and he had large groups coming and meeting. How many days a week was it, Willie?
3 days a week.
3 days
a week.
Middle schools. So he's just involved in so many things.
Yeah, he's the executive director of Youth for Christ for East Central Illinois, and also serves as a full-time pastor. And anyone that knows any work that pastors do, it's more than full-time with not just sermon preparation, but visits and mentoring and discipleship and administrative and building and all the maintenance. I mean, all the things that they have to juggle and oversee and participate in, and meetings and hospital visits, and it's endless. Any pastor that I know, kudos to you to have the strength and the perseverance and the sustenance and the ability. And I'm sure some credit goes to Zimbrina in the various roles. And we'll talk a little about her. But returning on this Testimony Tuesday is Willie Comer. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. I implore you, tune in and listen, because it will build from some of yesterday's story in today's topic of Testimony Tuesday. Also, we figured out it was about 3 or 4 years ago we had you both in the studio to talk about some of the ministry work you were doing. So if you do a search under our archive programs page, probably 2017 or 2018, and type in Willie, it'll take you right to that broadcast too. I didn't get a chance to look that up. But Willie, on this Testimony Tuesday, we ended yesterday with talking about you're in a home with your father. He has a drug addiction. The lights are turned off. The power is turned off. You're trying to figure out what to do with life. But before we bring everyone up to date on that story, how about starting even further back on some of your faith journey? Who helped lead you to Christ? Where you were at as this young man trying to weigh, well, God, I know you, but you're not providing. What am I supposed to do? So take us on that journey.
Oh, awesome. So I tell people all the time that my mother was on drugs. she drug us to church every single Sunday. Every time the doors opened, she drug the three of us into the church. And so it was in that time that I didn't really know or have the relationship with God, but I knew that there was a God. Mm-hmm. I knew that in times of trouble, that when there was nothing else left, I should turn to him. So it was my mom who drove me and pushed me. I found Christ for myself, though, when I was in the military and I was over in Berlin, Germany. And just crazy stuff. My relationships with God and how God speaks to me is just he does crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, he and I, we have this weird relationship where I'm like, you know, stop playing God, you know. And so we're in Germany and I'm with some other soldiers and we're in the mess hall and we're about to eat. And this beautiful girl comes in, like, just never seen anybody this beautiful in the military. And we're sitting at the lunch table, and so we're putting money on the table to determine who's bold enough to go talk to her, right? Yeah. So, you know, so everybody's putting money on the table, and I put my 20 in everybody. So it's like $120 on the table. And so for $120 in the military, I'm like, look, I'll go talk to her. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if I talk to her about toenails. It doesn't matter to me, $120. So I get up and I go talk to her, and it's a great conversation. But she invites me to church. Hmm. Now, I've been there a year, and I did not know that there was a church. I knew that there was a church on the post I was at, but I didn't know that there was another one. So she said, no, we're going to go to the one at McNair. And so I go to church with her, and it's just amazing. I mean, like, just drop-dead amazing. From that point on, my entire life.
And when you say that
changed.
For somebody maybe unfamiliar with the church experience, like the worship, the engagement, the message, the community feel.
Every aspect of it was amazing. And especially as a soldier who grew up in church, who had been looking for that feeling of family and community in church. Yeah, so the worship, the music, every part and aspect of it was amazing. But I didn't even know this existed. I had been there. She had just gotten there, and I had been there. Long story short, next day, you know, I get up and I go over to, because she didn't live where I live. She lived across the street. I went to go and find her to talk about what happened at church, and they told me they never heard of her.
Oh, my God. Does work in mysterious ways.
Like, never heard of her.
What?
Never. That doesn't even exist. Never been there.
What?
And I went back, and of course, the guys that gave me the $120, I'm telling them.
They want their money back.
Right. Exactly, right?
But sure. They saw her, too.
Yeah, they're asking me how it went yesterday, you know, that Sunday, because we went together, and I'm like, dude, nobody's ever even heard of this girl.
Yeah. And you're like, single at the time, so thinking, hey, this could be developed into
you
something.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Does not exist. And so it took me some time to realize, you know, but I got very involved in church, just really found God. I mean, like, really, he and I really became a real connection. And I think that that's what it was. It was just God using whatever, if that was an angel, whatever it was that he decided to use to say, okay, now is the time for you to just really be with me and hang out with me and begin to witness and minister to other soldiers who are in Berlin and be an example of who I am. You know, and of course, you know, I'm young and in the faith, and so I don't know a lot, but I was adopted by a family from that church, and they began to pour into me and talk to me about Christ and all the things about him. And that's kind of that faith journey. From there, I come home, and I'm immediately in ministry. You know, I get home, my mother's like, help me with the youth ministry. And I'm going, absolutely not. I don't want to work with kids. Have you lost your mind? I've been working with kids ever since I said that.
Famous last words.
Any of us that have ever prayed, Lord, I'll do anything but not, you know, to such and such a place. And don't you know you have a ticket to such and such a place.
Exactly.
I did want to ask you about your experience going to church, because I'm sure there's some listeners that maybe stereotype, oh, I don't go to church because when I walk in the door, people are going to be judgmental. They're going to say, oh, finally the sinners are showing up. Or some will say, you know, lightning will strike. And so I want to help that listener that's kind of maybe stereotyped what goes on in church or what their experience would be like. hey, listener, if you've not engaged in a church, or maybe you engaged in a church many years ago and it was a bad experience, mm-hmm. I, for one, and Willie and Tom and you, Marianne, could probably say 1,000 times over, there is a church waiting to embrace you. You don't have to be cleaned up. I want to be clear. You don't have to be sinless. We're all sinners. We're a collection of sinners that meet to worship a wonderful God. People will embrace you. Maybe you've been to a church where they didn't embrace you. Try another church. There are congregations that want to walk alongside you,
definitely,
help disciple you, nurture you, model the loving God that God is in a proper way. So give church a chance, another try.
And oh, definitely.
I just want to say, listener, if you did experience that, I want to apologize to you on behalf of Christians and the church. We are so sorry that you did.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is definitely a point of emphasis that you have to understand, that not every church is the same.
Right.
And so get up and try another one. I encourage you to get up and try another one. Just persevere through that situation and try another church, because God has a place for you. I would definitely tell
Amen.
You that.
Amen. So you came back, you're pretty fired up,
other than, man.
I don't really want to work with youth,
exactly,
but you're working with youth, your mom. Now, is she over her drug addiction at this point? Is she walking with the Lord, or is she just excited that her son is following Jesus?
Oh, no, she's never had a drug,
that
real
was
drug
his dad.
Addiction.
Oh.
My
she
dad
drug
did.
Him to
she
church.
Drug
oh,
me
oh,
to
that's
church.
Right. You know, I heard that all, and it's funny. Okay.
Yeah, dad had the drug addiction. Mom drugged me to church.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's start over.
Yeah. So you've returned, you're fired up, God has revealed himself in new ways, like in this creative way. Was it an angel? Was it really a person? It was certainly an angel sent by God, however he would define it, but it got you back into church, it got you engaged, it has you returning. Your mom's kind of excited. She's seeing this new enthusiasm. What took place next?
Well, yeah, so she asked me to help her with the kids. Of course, I tell her I'm not helping you with these kids.
Yes,
I mean, so we're
in a very Christian kind of way,
In a very Christian kind of way. That was just not what I wanted to do. I was playing drums in church at the time, so I said, look, this is enough, you know. And it was God who then told me, again, we had one of these conversations, God and I, how he does it, and he literally stops me in the middle of the church. So the kids are up in the sanctuary, and they are clowning. They're just being kids. They are just rambunctious. And literally, I am walking up to the place where they are, but I was going to sit on my drums, get ready for service, and the Holy Spirit literally stops me in the middle of the church. I cannot hear anything. I can see everything. I can actually see people looking at me like, why is he standing there looking like a weirdo?
Yeah.
You know, and the Holy Spirit, again, very clearly says to me, do something with these kids. I'm going, what? Do what? And clear as day, I get this message that says, start a youth choir. I said, okay. I don't know anything about youth choirs. I don't know anything about directing choirs. I don't know anything. All I do is play drums. I go up, and I can walk. I walk forward, and I say to the kids immediately, hey, what do you all think about starting a youth choir? And they went bananas. We started youth choir. Kids start coming from the west side of Chicago, all over Chicago, to be a part of this choir with this guy that knows nothing about choir. Like, absolutely nothing. Can't play a keyboard, any of that. And it just grew. And from there, I ended up going to another church where it was a large youth ministry, and eventually coming on as the youth pastor there. And we started ministering. We ended up with a ministry of about 2,000 kids. And
this is in the Chicagoland area?
This is Chicago
downtown area?
Well, it's still the south side, south side of Chicago, in the Roseland community, Salem Baptist Church. And so I end up being there for 14 years as a youth pastor.
Oh, my.
After I told God I wasn't working with kids.
Yeah.
I ended up working with kids there for 14 years before he called me to come to Champaign.
I think it was a pretty interesting story. I think I remember this from 3 or 4 years ago.
Like
almost like anywhere but the flatlands, cornfields of Champaign, Urbana. You know, Lord, I'm inner city missions. Champaign Urbana is probably not where I would be a good fit.
You are 100% correct. I get here. I'm invited to a Michigan football game, Michigan versus Illinois. you know, my brother-in-law lives here, so he invites me. He knows that I'm a diehard Michigan fan at the time, and come here, and I'm ready to go to this game. I'm at this tailgate, and again, here's God and I having this conversation. So he says to me, "This is where I want you to come to do ministry." I said, "Say what?" Like, no. What? No. I just flat out said, "No, God, no, I am not coming here. No." And I see this kid from the university who is, he's like out of his mind, inebriated, and this guy drives up with this casket, this big coffin filled with alcoholic beverages.
Oh, gosh.
And he had it insulated, and they're all drinking, and this kid is still drinking. He had turned 21. He was already drunk, and he's still drinking. And the Holy Spirit again says to me, so I'm sitting at a tailgate, had never been at a tailgate. I'm sitting at a place by myself because everybody else is at the coffin, getting something to drink. And the Holy Spirit says to me, this is why you're coming here, because I'm going to use you to deal with this. Yeah. I had no problem with coming here, but I didn't know, because when you're in Chicago, you don't know that there's a community here.
Right.
In your mind, it's just the university. So I had no problem coming here. It was just I didn't know what was here. And I'm doing urban ministry, and I'm going, no, urban ministry, this is university. Right. And, you know, I told God no, and I refused. And he said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Yes, you are."
How long did that go on?
Literally 1 week.
Uh-huh.
I got back to my office Tuesday. My phone rang. It was an Evangelical Covenant Church. They said, "We want to plant you in a church. If we did that, where would you go?" I said, "I would go to Champaign, of course."
Of course.
I hadn't thought about anything else. And that was on Tuesday. So this thing started with God on Saturday. By Thursday, I was in California at a church planner's training. A year later, I was in Champaign.
Yeah. And you've served as the pastor at the Berean Covenant Church for a number of years. You're currently the executive director of East Central Illinois Youth for Christ and involved in a number of things. We mentioned yesterday about the midnight basketball that I know even some of our Pinnacle brothers, Tom, have been a part of and seen you at work and all the kids coming together and just your heart for discipling different individuals and helping them on to college and the many different things. If you just tuned into this broadcast and you missed a portion of it, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And yesterday, Willie Comer and Tom Brown were in and introducing our topic for Memorization Monday, James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. But you made some choices. You were referred to it a little bit yesterday of this gang,
mm-hmm.
gangbangers, drug dealers. Mm-hmm. They had a wad of money. You're in a home with your dad who has a drug addiction. The power's turned off. And let's return to that in our closing few minutes. They're enticing you. You know, some people could say, wow, you need the money. Look at how God's creatively providing it through drug dealers and everything.
And
why don't you take it? So it's
and
like
they gave it out of friendship too.
Yeah. It was nothing malicious. They heard mm-hmm. about my situation and they simply wanted to help me because we had all grown up in the same community. They just chose a different path and mm-hmm. I was on my path. And so my flesh said yes. The Holy Spirit said, no, that money is going to be attached to something. And, you know, and at that time, you don't know what God's plan is. All right. I know is that obviously he had something bigger for me to do, and that just was not the part.
And you're like 18 or 19 at the point?
Oh, I'm very much 17 years old.
17, you had tried going to college, and
yes.
it hadn't really worked out. Even though your mom's great intention, here's $50, here's the college you went there. You weren't prepared for all the expenses, the cost, the rigors of being in college. And so you're returning back home. At this point, do you have much of a relationship with God? I mean, you know he exists. You've gone to church, but it wasn't real personal yet.
No.
So the Holy Spirit's working, even though you don't have this great intimate relationship with God. But you knew enough to say, you know what, that money I should not take, even though you need it, you want it. And I do believe, we talked about this a little off air yesterday, that God honored your commitment to not take that money, and look where he's brought you this time too. So you're saying at the time, no, I really can't take this money, you know, thanks for the offer. Well, what was the next steps? You're in a home, you're going hungry, you don't have heat or electricity. How do you make it?
Yeah, as we were talking about persevering, having to get past that point, So my dad shows up one day, and he turns the lights back on himself. So he knows how to turn them back on and whatever. So he turns the lights back on himself. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do with my life. I know what I wanted to do. College was a part of my life. That just fell apart. I walk in the house, and I walk past the television, and it just happened to be on. And it was a commercial that said, earn money for college.
Oh, boy.
And so I stopped, and I went, what? And I earn money for college. Go to the military and earn money for college. And that's how I got to the military.
Okay.
The next day, I had someone drop me off. As a matter of fact, I think it was my dad. I had him drop me off, but I made him drop me off like two blocks away, and I walked down to the military.
Like a recruitment office.
Mm-hmm. Took the test, did everything I needed to do. By the time they found out I was going in the military, it was about a week before it was time for me to leave. Nobody knew. Mm-hmm. My dad didn't know. My mom didn't know, because I didn't want anybody to talk me out of it. I knew that that's what I had to do in order to get to where I needed to get to.
And is Berlin the first place they sent you to? Is that?
I started out at Fort Bliss, Texas, Fort Knox, Kentucky, and then I ended up in Berlin, Germany. Mm-hmm. And then came home. Had earned money for college, went to Kennedy King College, graduated from there, went to Chicago State University, graduated from there, and got my master's degree in biblical studies from Liberty Theological Seminary. So, yeah, that perseverance piece was having to get through that very tough part of life in order to get to where God was calling.
I'm so glad that God called you here, Willie. Yeah. Really, so glad.
And isn't it like God to have that commercial that get money now, earn money now, right when you're in the house that the electric's turned on, to get you to Germany to find that woman that invites you to church? Because,
or angel.
And any other of those guys could have got up first and met with the gal and so forth. And so,
but even seeing that flicker on the TV, all of those instances that could be, not happen within seconds.
It's like a divine synchronicity, like God divinely synchronized all of these things to happen, because my faith was struggling. I mean, you know, I've been going to church all this time, but I don't see God moving. Right, I don't see anything. You know, at 17, 18 years old, I'm like, man, what? You know?
Yeah.
Praise God for you, Willie, and may his blessing rest on you really strong.
And in our closing 30 seconds, is there a website? How would they find out more about either your ministry work through Youth for Christ or the Berean Covenant Church here in Champaign?
So we're at BereanCovenant.org.
BereanCovenant.org.
And you could go to YFCECI.org, and that's for Youth for Christ, East Central Illinois.
If you didn't have time to write that down, just call the station, 217-367-7777. We can get you that information, and we'll be praying you up. I'll ask our listeners be praying up the ministry work that Willie has here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area, and hopefully persevere. Young man, young woman, senior saint, those of you in between, God does desire to work in and through your situation. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. He's proven his love for you. All you have to do is draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.